And I would rather, instead of being fixated on politics, I'd rather be fixated on the power of the Holy Ghost that is falling in these last days. That's the truth, folks. Sister Sponsor and I lived the last 12 years of our lives in a socialist country. And I'm going to tell you, the government can pass whatever law they want, and God looks at it and says, whatever, I'm just going to turn around and take care of it. And God has just been pouring out His Spirit in such an incredible way. In fact, really, we have no sad stories to tell you tonight. We don't have any pictures of any starving kids. In fact, we don't even have any sunsets to put up like you're supposed to have. The only thing we can tell you is that in the country of Argentina right now, there is a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the power and the presence of God taking place. Amen. And we want to tell you just a little bit about what happened. When we got through with our last deputation, you've got to understand I'm not a prophet and I'm not the son of a prophet. Never have claimed any gifts and still don't claim any gifts. I just claim a God that's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think. But we got through with deputation and the Lord clearly spoke to myself and Sister Sponsor and through other people and said, get ready for a change in your ministry. Wonderful. He didn't give us any details. And that always worries me when God says change is coming and He doesn't give any details. Because I like to know who, where, why, when, who's in charge, what time start, where's it going to happen, and who's paying for it. I really love those kind of things, and God didn't give us anything about that. And so we got off the plane. We landed in Buenos Aires, the city we live in, the capital city. It's a city of 17 million people. And we got to the place where we were going to stay that night, left the luggage, and then we went out to find something to eat because that's what Pentecostals do. And we walked into the restaurant and sat down, and the waitress came over to us to take our order. And just being nice, we said, well, how are you doing today? And she looked at us and said, I'm doing horrible. Thank you for the information. We wondered what, and we said, well, what's going on? She said, my dad had a stroke last night, and the doctors don't expect him to live more than 24 hours. Without even thinking, the words just were out of my mouth before I could even think. And I said, where is he? We'll go pray for him and God will heal him. The moment I said that, the thought hit me. Michael Sponsler, you have stepped in it deep right now. Because there is a big difference between saying God can heal and God will heal. You say God can, you leave yourself a little wiggle room and a little margin for error. Well, you know, whatever. But you say God will heal and He's got to show up. And He always does. And He always does. And she asked us a question. She asked us a question I will never forget as long as I live. She looked at us and she said, how much will you charge us to come in and pray for my dad? And I kind of confused us. We said, what do you mean charge? And she said, well, I asked my priest to come and pray for him. And he said he'd come, but we'd have to pay X amount of money. And we don't have the money he was charging us. So how much do you charge? You know, maybe we're Walmart or the prayer people. I don't know. We looked at her and said, you know what? The love of God is free. And the grace of God is free. And the mercies of God are free. And healing was already paid for on Calvary. So there is no charge whatsoever. You just show us where He is and let's see what God can do. So we walked into that hospital room. And I have seen men dying before. And this man was literally a few hours away from drawing his last breath. But you know, there's power in the name of Jesus. There really is power in the name of Jesus. We just laid hands on him gently and we rebuked death and we commanded healing to flow through his body and we shook hands with the family and walked out. We were out in and out in less than 5 minutes. And the next morning, Sister Sponsor called the waitress up to ask how her dad was doing and I could hear her screaming on the phone. She said, Daddy is sitting on the side of the bed. He's eating breakfast. He's talking. There is no sign of a stroke. He is absolutely and totally and completely like he was beforehand. Well, hallelujah. And so that got my motor going, and I started preaching it, and we started teaching it in the Bible school, and we started preaching it everywhere we could go, and just said, believe God for the impossible. If you can believe it, God can do it. If you can just think it, God's able to do it. And we started teaching it. And someone asked us, well, Brother Sponsor, what happens if it doesn't work? And we said, well, what happens if it does work? What happens if you lay hands on somebody and rebuke cancer and that cancer goes, or rebuke the tumor and the tumor goes, or you pray for somebody and the leg that was short grows? And what happens if it does work? Church, There is so much faith flowing in this building right now that if somehow I could get you to see the river of the Spirit of God that's flowing in this place, it would blow your precious minds, because God is really doing such an incredible work in this world today. Don't you fall prey to a spirit of fear that's trying to grip this world. Don't fall prey for it. You look under the heavens from which comes your help. You look under the hills from our help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. The name of the Lord's a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. And I will not be subject to the spirit of fear that's gripping our age and setting the world up. I'm going to look unto Jesus, because He's doing incredible things right now. Oh, hallelujah. So as we were preaching, God began to do incredible things. Cancers were healed, and people were healed from diabetes, and people were healed from rheumatoid arthritis. And we saw a lady that had come in, and it's kind of a long story, so I'm not going to take the time, but a doctor's wife came to Argentina from Alaska and flew down because she wanted to see a Pentecostal revival taking place. So all the way from Alaska down to Argentina, and she didn't speak a word of Spanish. But the dates that she came, it just so happened we were having a national convention, and Brother David K. Bernard was preaching, and also Brother Doug Kleindienst was preaching, both of whom are English speakers. And there she was, and right in front of her, a young girl that had just come in to the church off the streets came. She had a lame leg and a leg that was shorter, and she came and stood right in front of this doctor's wife that was there. And as this young lady was praying, that leg grew in front of our eyes, and the lame foot was straightened out, and she began to jump and to dance and to shout. You want a miracle? God's going to show you a miracle. You want to see the power of God move? He's going to show you the power of God. He's not shy, and I'm not shy about boasting about my Jesus, who's able to do greater things than even this. So in fact, tonight we want to show you three of the miracles that took place. And remember, everything you're seeing tonight, you had a part of it. You are partly responsible for everything that has taken place. And the first miracle we're going to be showing you happened to one of our pastors, Brother Daniel Soto, who is a tremendous man. And he also owns a meat market, because in Argentina, there are more cows than there are people. There are. Beef is the way of life. If you're a vegetarian, stay away. We don't even want you around. Not interested. We just fill you up with cholesterol and pray for you. God heals you, and you go back to the table again. Fantastic life. It's great. And he got up that day because he owned a meat market. And he told the Lord that Monday morning, I want to see a miracle today. And so he went off to go work, and a man from the church worked with him. They picked him up, and they walked into the store, and behind him walked two men. As they walked in the door, those two men walked in behind him. Both of them pulled out guns, and they pointed them at Brother Soto and said, we are going to rob you of everything you've got, and then we're going to kill you because we don't want witnesses. And, I mean, it's nice to know. At least they're courteous enough to tell you what they're going to do. Brother Soto looked at him and said, you're not stealing one peso from me, and my Jesus is not going to let you hurt me. The man, the leader of the two, just pointed his gun at Brother Soto and pulled the trigger. And the gun fired, and the bullet hit Brother Soto in the stomach, and it bounced down on the ground, leaving just a tiny little red mark on his stomach. The other man took his gun and tried to fire, but the gun would not fire. It was totally locked up. So they dropped their weapons and took off running because neighbors were coming. And one of the neighbors picked up the gun that would not fire, walked out into the street, pointed it into the air, and shot 10 times perfectly, one right after. The gun functioned perfectly. So folks, either one of two things. Either Argentina has really junky guns, or our God really is able to reach down and send His angels round about those that fear Him. Oh, yes, He does. In fact, I asked Brother Soto, I said, can I take the bullet back with me? Because he still has it. I said, I want to take it back and show it to the people. And he said, nope, it's my bullet. It's my miracle. If you want a bullet, you pray for your own miracle. So I said, I will just show him the picture and we'll let it go. That's good enough. And I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And the next miracle that took place, it was really exciting. It happened to one of our pastor's wives. She is a tremendous, tremendous lady. And they were making pasta to sell in the neighborhood, because if an Argentine is not eating meat, green salad, french fries, and ice cream, they're eating pasta. God knew where to send us. That's how I know he loves us so much. And they were making pasta, and they were pushing the dough into this old machine. And somehow her hand got caught in the dough and went into the machine. And in a matter of seconds, her hand was almost completely ripped off of her arm. They took her to the hospital, and the doctors tried to sew it up and put it back together. But they told Brother Sanagua, we don't think we can save the hand. We just don't think there's too much damage done. But you know, prayer was made, and she went to the church, and she was anointed with oil and prayed for. And as they were praying for her, God began to reconnect nerves and tendons and bones until today. If you look at that hand, there is not hardly a scar on that thing, and she has 100% use of that hand, because God brought everything right back together and totally healed that thing up. Amen. And the third miracle we want to show you tonight happened to a very beautiful family. We love them dearly. I talked with them the other day on the phone. And it's Brother Federico Bueno and his wife Vanessa. They have three beautiful children. He is our national youth president and pastors a really good church there in the greater BA area. And they were going to take a family vacation. And their boy, Camilo, who was their middle child, I think, he came up to his dad. They went to a pizza place to eat some pizza, and then they were to take off. The car was already packed with suitcases and everything. And he came up to his dad and said, Daddy, I don't feel good. So Brother Sanago, or Brother Bueno said, well, we'll take you to urgent care, and we'll get you checked out, and we'll be okay. They went to urgent care, and there the nurse said, why don't you take him to emergency room just to make sure? They got to the emergency room, folks, 30 minutes from the time they walked into the emergency room, 30 minutes later, little 3-year-old Camilo was on life support in a coma, and the doctors came out and said, the best we can do is give you a 1% chance that he's going to live. Your son's going to die. But the word spread like wildfire. And people all over the country began to pray and seek the face of God. And as we were praying for God's healing and mercy upon little Camilo, the Lord began to speak to several of us and told us, tell the Bueno family, don't worry. In 30 days, their son will walk out of that hospital totally healed. Folks, 30 days to the day they walked in, 30 days later, Camilo and his family walked out of that hospital completely and totally well. There were doctors and nurses lining the hallways, because they were saying, this is not anything that our medical science could do. There was divine intervention here. And they were recognizing it. Some of them were atheists, but they were standing back and say, this was out of our hands. We didn't do this. Something happened. So folks, when I tell you that God is moving in Argentina, that's exactly what I mean. There is an incredible revival taking place, an incredible growth. I was excited to hear about your home groups, because that is one of the main ways that we are reaching out throughout that country, because an Argentine won't necessarily come to an established church, because that would destroy family traditions that go back 2 and 3 and 4 generations. But they will come to a home, and they will eat, because they love social life and they love to party. There's nothing greater in their lives than food and a party. And we can go on, and there's no better way. And we have churches that have exploded throughout the city because of what has taken place. So if I stand here with just a big old crazy grin on my face, you know why. Because God is just doing incredible things. He really is. And I've just come to believe there is nothing that God can't do. You know what's really exciting? God's not limited to geography, and he's not limited to barrier fronteras, borders of a country. He's not limited to any of that, folks. He is doing it here in the United States. And I'm going to go out on a limb tonight and tell you, here in Cleveland, there are people that are just waiting for people just like you to reach out and pray for them and watch a miracle transpire in their life. Oh, Lord, I feel like something's happening in this place tonight. In fact, let me tell you something. I will even go crazier. If at any time, and you have a need in your body in this church service, folks, I don't even have to pray for you. All you have to do is lift up your hands and believe and begin to worship, and God can reach down where you are sitting and do the miracle even right now. That's okay. Some of you are looking at me, oh, really? I thought the book of James said, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and be anointed with oil. And that's, folks, we have been in services, this deputation, that during the worship service, God has reached down. There was a lady not too long ago, and we had told them the same thing. Just worship the Lord, and God will heal you. And she turned around and came up to us after service, and she was shaking and trembling. And she said, look at my hand, look at my hand, look at my hand. I said, what's wrong with it? It looks normal. She said, I had severe nerve damage in there, and when I came in tonight, this hand was blue because there's no circulation in it, and there was no feeling in it, and my hand was dead on my body. But look at my hand, because as she had lifted up her hand and worshiped the Lord, God totally restored that hand. My God, have mercy. There is such a spirit of faith in this house right now. I'm here to tell this church, God's getting ready to do some incredible things for you. Would you just lift up your hands and begin to thank Him for the miracles yet we have to see, but that are on the way. There is miracles. There are miracles coming to this church. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to show you just a little bit about what God's doing. But before we do, I want my wife to come, such a sponsor. And I have made the mistake before of calling her my girlfriend, and it confuses people. Because they think that if you're married, then she can't be your girlfriend. Marriage class 101. She should be more your girlfriend than before you were married. Just stand there and look beautiful for a second, babe. We do need your help again. And thankfully, God has really supplied. We hardly need any more partners, maybe five left if that many. But there are a couple of projects that we are raising funds for. And if anything would happen or you would feel a need, please see your pastor. We always go through the ministry. But one is for a church roof. One of our pastors, he's a great man, and they have done so much. But their church is in a very expensive part of Buenos Aires. And they have simply run out of funds to be able to put the roof on the church. And the roof, when we came home for deputation, it was going to cost him about $10,000 to put that roof on. I just talked with him a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that the inflation has been so strong in the country and the price of products has gone up. It's now going to cost $16,000. And so inflation is pretty high there, and they have simply done everything they can, but they just don't have it to keep up with everything that's going on. And we still need about $5,000-$6,000 to get that roof up. And another thing we're going to be doing is Sister Sponsor and I are going to be doing an intensive amount of traveling throughout the country of Argentina this time. And that is for seminars and evangelism. Not only that, but we also help supervise three other countries besides Argentina. So they have asked us if we could raise some funds for that. So I throw that in your lap. And now I want my beautiful wife to come and greet you, and then we're going to take a trip to Argentina real quick.
Praise the Lord. So good to be with this great church tonight. I love Church of Pentecost. That's the way it is, isn't it? Acts 2 all the way, or Acts, the book of Acts. I was telling Sister Gina before service tonight of another miracle that happened in my family several years ago, but maybe I'll share it because it may build your faith. But this brother is now a pastor. However, when he was a young man, he was a heroin addict, and he would inject into his veins. You know what? Medical doctors can do a little bit to help, but they really can't cure the problem, can they? You know, and then people just go back and forth, and they're frustrated, and they give up. But anyway, he fell in love with the neighbor girl, and she had a hunger for God. So she came to the church, got saved, and said, okay, I can't marry you unless you want my Jesus. And here he was, a heroin addict. And he left the church. He knew quite a bit about it. But he had to decide, I need Jesus. So he came to the altar one Sunday night, and he would not leave the altar because he knew if he didn't have the Spirit of God inside of him, he could not resist the drugs. But guess what God did when he was determined? Nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. You know? You tell that testimony to a doctor, and they're going to look at you like, what? How could that happen? Well, we know, don't we? He's amazing. He's amazing. And the other testimony I'd like to share is about God heals our emotions. You know, sometimes life can be painful, and we don't know where God is at the time. Just today, I got a little text from my sister-in-law, and her granddaughter had to have a surgery on her back. And she had severe scoliosis, double S curve, and all of that. So they did this surgery in Pittsburgh. That's pretty cool surgery. But through it all, she was scared, and she suffered a lot of pain in recovery. And this little girl, she's 12, and she was raised in the church. And she said, you know, there was a time that I was so scared that I forgot about God, and I was suffering so much pain I forgot about God. But the church people I knew were praying for me, and that encouraged me, and that meant so much. And it wasn't long I remembered that God was there for me, and he strengthened me. So she said, I'm thankful for that experience, because she grew spiritually. Isn't God awesome? So the last little thing is we have a pastor's wife, and she was raised in a very dysfunctional home. Her mother wasn't around. It was just her father and her sister and her. And the father was a non-believer, and the family wasn't saved at the time. And so the father took advantage of his daughters and abused them repeatedly. That happens, doesn't it? It's a terrible thing, but that happens. And two babies were born from that situation of being violated. But she came in contact with the church. She found her Pentecost. And she raised those boys in the church. One of them, well, both of them are involved in our music ministry. One of them has graduated from our Bible school, and she married a wonderful pastor. Wow. Wow, what a life. You know, from disaster to victory. And that's the way God does things. So I don't know you folks. I have no clue what you look at in life, who you want to help, but never give up on anybody, because nobody's gone too far that he can't lift them up and heal them and raise them, because he's so awesome. He's amazing. He's amazing. Oh, one more. Okay, hurry up. He says, I have a brother that robbed the bank once. That's the kind of family I came from. He was a great guy, but he was messed up, and he robbed a bank. This is my family. He visited with me, my family, in jail. And then the brother says, oh, I don't believe in God anyway. But he contracted multiple myeloma at age of 72. And then he realized I needed God. So he came to the altar. He thanked God for his cancer, because it brought him back to what he needed to be brought back to, the feet of Jesus. And he didn't suffer like so many people do with that disease. And at 75, he said, God, I'm ready to go. Just take me. And God did. So you know what? Crazy as life can be, as embarrassing situations can be, just forget about all that and just help your family get to the Lord. God's able. God's able. He's amazing. And of course, there's many more, but my husband told me to hurry up, so I'm going to obey my husband. Okay, he said, the children, 5 to 12-year-old. Do we have 5-year-olds to 12-year-olds tonight? Would you like to stand? Stand up real quick. 5 to 12-year-old. If you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, stand up. Okay, run up here real quick if you can run up here. Hurry. Yeah, I'm going to give away $10 to somebody. Okay? All right, somebody's going to win $10 and then go buy a hamburger. Okay, all right, awesome. Okay, Brother Sponsor said that we have more cows in Argentina than people, right? So this is from Argentina. You know what it is? What is it?
It's a feet.
It's a cow hoof, that's right, okay. So now you can see the inside. They hollowed it out and they put a wooden insert in it, yes? Okay, so when you buy this, huh? So when you buy this in Argentina, they're going to tell you to use it for something, okay? And it's a very common purpose. You probably used one of these today, okay? So if you can guess with your hand raised what they're going to tell you to use it for in Argentina, and it's right, if your answer is right, you get $10. All right. Who's got an idea?
Maybe I don't know.
You forgot. Okay. It's a common use. Yeah? It's a very common use. We got to hurry, though. Don't be afraid. If you get it wrong, it's no big deal.
pray for Dad.
What do they use this for? What do they use this for?
They could use it to, like, put money in it.
Well, that's a great idea, but that's not it.
They could use it for a cow.
Well, they could. That was part of the cow. It's a common use, and you used it today, probably.
A candle?
No, did you use a candle today? Maybe Mom did. I guarantee.
A cup.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Give her a hand clap. A cup. You may be seated. Awesome. She did. She guessed it. A cup. That's a strange looking cup, but that's what they would use it for. They drink mate. They put a metal straw in there. They put in the mate leaves, which is like a green tea. They put in hot water, sugar, maybe a mint. They drink it down. Then they put in more hot water and they pass it to your neighbor. And you drink out of the same straw. It's no big deal. So, you know. You just get over it real quick. So when you eat beef, hamburgers, steak, please remember to pray for Argentina. And I know you folks have been, and we're so appreciative, so very appreciative. Okay, who knows what Mother's Memorial does for missionaries? You guys give to Mother's Memorial? Yes, ma'am. Yes, come on up here, please. And then there's one more thing that's really big for missionaries. From Mother's Memorial. No? Mother's Memorial. Come on up here, babe. Okay. You know what it is? It is subsidization of our Bible school students. So we have two Bible schools, and we have about 65 students. And so your Mother's Memorial funding is helping to subsidize those being trained to go out into the ministry. So give yourself a big hand clap. Keep up the good work, because we need people to help us. Would you like a pen? This pen is really cool. You take off that little yellow clip, and it's a flashlight, and then this is a stylus, and you got a pen inside. Thank you for your hard work. God bless you. She's for Christ. Are you the She's for Christ? Are you the youth leader? Would you come up here, please? Same thing. What does She's for Christ do for the missionaries?
Cars, washers, dryers.
Transportation, that's right. So we honor you tonight with your hard work and leadership for that. And God bless you. Yes, thank you so much for all that you do. We are a team. We are a team. And we couldn't be there without the North American Church. And so we're just so appreciative for all you do. Thank you. God bless you. Let's travel.
Brother Sound Person, let's go to Argentina tonight. The southeast corner of South America, there is a country called Argentina that is in the middle of a revolution. It's a revolution of prayer, a revolution of faith, it's a revolution of revival. For the past 12 years, Sister Sponsor and I have been blessed to serve in the country of Argentina. Before that, we were in the country of Ecuador for 8 years, but it has been a joy to work in that country and throughout the region. We work with local churches, local church pastors. We work with families and marriages. We're from the national board, national responsibilities. We have seen God do incredible things. So whether it's working in a local church, teaching in seminars, working in the Bible school, it's a joy to be serving in the country of Argentina. It's really exciting to serve alongside great men and women of God, pastors and pastors' wives that love this truth, they love this message, they love the Word of God. They will go into a place that doesn't have a church, and they will build their church brick by brick, by hand. They will raise it up, and God will reach down and begin to do incredible things as God is using these dedicated men and women of God. Our Bible school is very important. We have two Bible schools, and we're hoping to start two more Bible schools this coming term. These young people come for 2 years, many of them sacrificing tremendously to train and prepare to go out into the ministry. And when they graduate, they will go out and start churches. They will be involved in ministry. God is using them greatly. Now, this is Brother Soto and his wife, Maria. This is the one that I told you about. That's the bullet that hit him, and that's the place that it hit him when they fired that gun. But Brother Soto will grin at you and say, our God is able to do exceeding and abundantly. This is Sister Sanagua, Sister Maria de Sanagua. That is the hand that got caught in that wicked-looking machine. When the doctors got through, that's the very best they could do, and they said they won't be able to save the hand. But prayer was made, and now her hand is 100% healed. It doesn't even have a scar because God reached down and healed her. This is my buddy Camilo. He is a geek. He loves tech, and I love people like that. And God has reached down and done something. But 30 minutes from the time this picture was taken, 30 minutes later, this is what Camilo looked like. He was on life support and in a coma, but his prayer was made. God reached down and healed that boy. And now he's back playing soccer like every Argentine kid will. He's singing in Sunday school. He's having a great time. And he told me just before we came, he said, Brother Sponsor, someday I'm going to be a preacher. And I believe he will be, because he has got a testimony and a message to give. So God's doing an incredible, incredible work in the country of Argentina. There is a tremendous revival taking place. There is a tremendous hunger. And we thank you for your prayer covering, and we want to thank you for being a part of the revival. Everything you've seen tonight, it is because you have joined the Argentine revival that is taking place. Thank you so much from the depths of our heart for your vision and for your burden beyond your own four walls. God is doing an incredible thing. Please don't forget to pray for us. We have got to have your prayer covering. You can join us in a project. It would be great. But God is doing a great work. Thank you so very much for what God is doing and for your help in that. Amen. Amen. Would you stand tonight? Now, your pastor made a very dangerous statement to me just before we got up here. I said, how long do you normally go in a service? And he said, well, just take your liberty however long the Lord wants. What he doesn't know is we're coming from a Latin country, folks. Our church services last 4 and 5 hours nonstop, and we're rocking the house until whenever. So, hey, I just have to obey your pastor. Amen. Not going to be long tonight, but there's something I want to leave with you. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. Do you feel the spirit of faith in this place? Wow. Incredible things are happening. I wish we could see the angels that are perched around about this place. This place is full of the angels of the Lord. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. I'm reading to you from the New King James Version. It says this, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I want to simply bring you this simple thought as fast as I can get it out. I want to bring you this thought. What you sow is what you reap. What you sow is what you reap. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time and you can be seated. Amen. You know, the Bible is full of truths and laws that really are unbreakable and irrevocable. Once God said it, that's where they are, such as the law of giving. Give, Luke 6:38, give, it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for the same measure that you use it will be measured back to you. It's the law of giving. And folks, I want to tell you something. I have heard it far too often for my German temper to be able to stand. Whenever I come into a place and we start talking about finances, there are people that say, well, every time I come to church, that's all that that man wants to do is talk about money. No, it's not that a man is talking about money, and it's not that a church is talking about money. It's the law of God. God said it. God wrote it down. And as such, it is irrevocable and unbreakable. And Sister Sponsor and I have proven that time and time again in our own personal lives. When we give to the Lord, He always gives back, and even in a greater measure than what we gave. So I believe in the laws. Amen. Malachi 3:10, it's the law of tithing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Try me now in this and see if I won't open a window of heaven for you and pour out such a blessing there won't be room enough to receive it. And folks, we have seen it take place again and again and again and again. And when you first honor God, He always comes and honors you. Amen. He always does. When we pastored, there was a lady came up to us. Her husband had died, and she had three kids, and it was a little tough. And she said, "Brother Sponsor, I don't think I can afford to tithe." I said, "You know what? It's not about me, and it's not about this church. It's about you and your relationship with God. I'll tell you what we'll do. I want you for 60 days to tithe on everything you get. And if at that time God has not blessed you more abundantly, I will personally, out of my own bank account, make up what God did not bless you with." And guess what? She came at the end of 60 days and said, "Keep your checkbook. I cannot believe what God's doing, but God's doing it." It's the law of God, and God will not go back on His word. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, it'll be given you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it will be open. It's the law of asking. You see, time can't change the laws of God, and culture can't change them, and society can't change them, and the world can't change them, and the devil can't change them. What God's law is written, that it is written, and it will never change, ladies and gentlemen. So Paul gave us one of the better known laws in the Bible. We call it the law of the harvest or the law of sowing and reaping. And simply stated, it says whatever a person sows or plants, that's what they're going to harvest or reap. Well, duh. You plant oranges, what do you get? Pears? I don't think so. You get oranges. You plant apples, you get apples. Well, come on. Maybe I'm not the brightest bulb in the package, but I'm not dumb. Really? Why is it that sometimes people cannot understand this? Because know this, sooner or later the harvest does come. It will come. And no one can escape the consequences of the law of the harvest, and no one hides from this law, because in every aspect of life, the law of sowing and reaping, planting and harvest is present. Who was it? Was it Mr. Newman that said, "For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. There are consequences to our actions." Something society seems to have forgotten nowadays. Because today, society says, "I can do what I want, say what I want, and you can't touch me." Oh, really? No, I don't have to, because the consequences will catch up with you. In fact, this is the negative side of this whole law. Everybody knows what happens if a person lives a life of sin and the consequences that come with it. Okay? I don't want to spend a lot of time here. It's not where I want to focus on. But just be aware and rest assured that if a person is contemplating that kind of life, the kind of life, I'm going to live my own life and nobody can tell me what to do and no church can tell me what to do and I don't need no pastor's wife to tell me what to do because I'm just bad to the bone and you just can't mess with me and I'm going to live what I want to do and live how I want to live, go ahead. Nobody's stopping you. Live like you want to live. See, I'm not the pastor, I can say that. But can I tell you something? Be also aware that you live that kind of life and the consequences to those lives come. Okay? So don't come whining and crying, "Oh, God's so unfair and I just can't deal. Why does God hate me?" He doesn't hate you. It's payday, baby. That's what it is. You smoke 5 cartons of cigarettes a day. And don't come crying when the doctor says, "You got some black spots on your lungs and emphysema. You're going to probably strangle to death and you won't be able to breathe after a while. And congestive heart failure is coming on." "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" He didn't forsake you. Welcome to the law of the harvest. That's so mean and cruel. No, it's reality. That's practicality. You drink 5/5 of Jack Daniel every day and suddenly your liver blows up and your nose gets all pockmarked and red out and your blood pressure shoots through the roof and you lose your job because you're an alcoholic and stuff. And guess what? It's not God's fault. And it's not the church's fault. It is the consequence of the lifestyle you're living. Now, in my black and white lifestyle that I live, and we live in a country where things are not filtered. You just say what you say, and out it comes, and oh well, that's life. Folks, that's not being mean. That is the truth of the matter. Just be aware, for every action we take, there is a consequence to that action. That's why Paul said in Galatians 6:8, those who only live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. No one can ever escape it. It would be a wise person to understand that the law of the harvest is not a United Pentecostal Church law. It's the law of God. It's there. We'll see it. And sooner or later, the harvest comes. Don't be misled. What you plant, you will always harvest. But the other side of the coin is there. El otro lado de la moneda. The other side of the coin is there, folks. Because what you plant into the realms of the Spirit also brings harvest every single time. Paul went on to say, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If we live for God, if we serve the Lord, we are sowing into the kingdom of God. It's just like sowing into the kingdom of this world. There's consequences for sowing the seed. What's going to happen? The plants are going to grow. The harvest begins to come. And when you are doing that in the realms of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured that the same God that gave the laws is the same God that will fulfill His word. And that's why the Bible goes on to say in Galatians 6:9, let's not get tired of what is doing good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We need to remember that everything we do for the kingdom of God has a consequence, a positive consequence, because we're sowing or planting into the realms of the Spirit. Every time you teach a home Bible study, you're sowing into the kingdom of God. Every time you have a home fellowship group, you are sowing into the kingdom of God. Every time you walk through the doors of this church and lift your hands in worship and praise, you are not just doing Pentecostal tradition. You are sowing into the kingdom of God. Every time you read the word of God, every time you lift your hands in prayer, every time you make a declaration of faith, you're sowing to the Spirit of God, and you will reap the harvest of doing that. And I know what the enemy of your soul says, because he said it to me. He'll want to put doubt into your hearts. Why do you even try when you don't have any talent? You know, the devil is so good at putting people down. What a potty mouth. Well, you're not good enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough. You don't have enough hair. Well, duh. You're too skinny. He never said that about me. You're too fat. You're too this. You're too... And he'll always want to put you down and always try and stifle the potential. But I'm here to tell somebody, and I felt this sitting on the platform, Pastor. Excuse me. I really strongly felt God tell me to tell somebody, it's time for you to quit looking at what you're not and what you can't do and begin to look at the fact. I'm not doing this for my own ego. I'm not doing this for my own satisfaction. I'm planting into the realms of the Spirit. So maybe they'll never ask me to sing a solo. The last time they asked me to sing a solo, I almost split the church. That tells you why I don't sing. But I can pray. I can read the Word of God. I can get a hold of God. There's something I can do. Folks, quit looking at what you can't do and begin to look at what God can do through you. Oh, hallelujah. You listen to me, you're not here by chance. You are here by the will of God. Exactly when the harvest comes, the consequences of being faithful, we don't know. Sometimes it's fast. Sometimes it takes a little time, but rest assured, it will come. There's a plant that grows in Bolivia. It's called the giant bromeliad Puja Reomandi, and it is the slowest flowering plant in the world. It was discovered in 1870 in the mountains of Bolivia, growing at the altitude of 12,992 feet. It only flowers between every 80 and 150 years. From the time that the seed falls into the ground, it will be at least 80 years to 150 years before a flower blooms. But it will bloom. It will bloom. It takes time, but it will bloom. And I'm here to tell somebody that when the enemy comes and the doubter comes and says you'll never amount to anything and your prayers are too weak and your faith is too bad and you were too bad of a sinner and you have nothing to offer God, you can simply tell him, but there's something that's been planted in my soul and I am planting it into the realms of the Spirit, and when the right time comes, there will be a harvest for the glory of God. So you don't forget the laws, folks, and I'm about ready to close, but when the doubts come and the tempter lifts his ugly head, and the moment you feel inadequate, you just remember that as a child of God, every action you take and every decision you make, you're sowing, 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 you're sowing into the kingdom of God. And there's a harvest that will be coming. See, if you plant faith, you'll harvest a miracle. And if you sow ethics, you reap the confidence of God and people. And if you sow integrity, you harvest a good name and reputation. And if you sow the love and obedience to doctrine, you reap holiness and spiritual stability. And if you sow faithfulness, you reap the blessings of God. And if you sow unity, you harvest harmony. And if you plant prayer, you harvest sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And if you plant fasting, you harvest the strength of the Spirit. And if you plant obedience, you harvest the Word of God and the affirmation of God. And if you plant worship and praise, you harvest the open windows of heaven and God pours out his blessing. There's always a harvest to what we sow. My mother-in-law was cool. I had a cool mother-in-law. She was a health freak. And so when she'd ask me, what do you want for breakfast, Mike? I'd say, Hershey's, Reese's Cup, Twinkies, and a Dr. Pepper. It was good for a 30-minute sermon right there. Do you know what white sugar will do to you? It is like venom in your bloodstream. Preach on, dear sister. Preach on. She had a husband, a father-in-law. He was a good man. He was a hard-working man, but he was a hard drinker, too. He's an alcoholic. And she started praying for Clem. In every church service, Bessie's hand would be up. Anybody have a prayer request? Pray for my husband. God's going to save him. And she kept doing it every service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, ladies' prayer meeting. Pray for Clem. God's going to save him. And she would pray. You know what she was doing? She was sowing seeds of faith. Sowings. For 50 years, my mother-in-law prayed for her husband. He was 85 when one Sunday morning she was sitting in front of their antique dresser, fluffing up her white, powdered white hair and getting all dolled up like she always, she dressed to the T's. Even when grandma, when she was a grandma, she's pretty good. And suddenly Clem woke up, rolled over in bed and looked at her and said, Bessie, I want to go to church with you today. 50 years of planting, 50 years of sowing, and 50 years the harvest came. Clem went to church. At the age of 88, he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. You hear me? You don't quit praying. You don't quit sowing. You don't quit worshiping. You don't quit being faithful. Because at the right time, if you don't give up, you will reap the harvest. Closing with this, musicians, you can come. I was telling your pastor about this, because the last time we were here, I remember after service, he took us to some building. I don't know, it was quite a ways away from him. He's showing us this building. You know, we need a new building. God's going to do something. For how many years, Pastor, have you been sowing the seeds of faith? It's going to happen. But I'm here to tell you, on this deputation, at least twice, Sister Sponsor and I have listened to testimonies from pastors. One was in Alabama just not too long ago, and I can't remember the city that he was in. Was it Huntsville or something? I can't remember. It was a big town. Property horribly expensive. And they needed a new church. And he wanted to be in the city. So he was praying. And they didn't have a big enough congregation to float alone. They didn't have the right finances, but they needed a building. And so he was praying, and he started telling the church, believe, God's going to give us a building. You know what happened? He saw a building abandoned down in the downtown area. So he called up the realtor and said, how much is it? Well, the price they quoted was pathetically expensive. He said, well, we ain't got it. Tell you what we'll do. We'll offer you what we have, which was about $125,000, and it was for almost $1 million value. And the realtor said, don't be stupid. I'm not even going to offer. He said, offer it. See what happens. They offered that. And the man turned around and said, we'll take it. And God gave them $1 million building for $125,000. Well, it was there. And they were in. And they were doing a great, great work, and God was doing, and it wasn't long before they needed another building. But if you're in downtown, parking's limited and space is at a premium. And so the next door building came open, and its price was really crazy. But the pastor went over and talked with the man, and the man said, well, how much are you going to offer for me? Because several other people had offered to buy that, and they had quoted. And the pastor said, let me pray about it. And that man that owned it said, stop, the building is yours. Nobody has ever said, we'll pray about it. And he gave them the adjoining building. And if I'm not mistaken, they did one other building the same way in that city block. Here I go. Here I go. You've been looking for a building for a long time. Can I tell you something? Start sowing some seeds of thanksgiving. God, you've got that place, and you've already got it reserved, and you're going to give it to us. You're going to do the work. Some of you are doubting me right now, and that's okay, but I'm here to tell you, what you sow, you reap. You want to reap negative, it'll never happen. Go ahead and reap it. I prefer to believe the good report. Whose report will you believe? You know what I'd like to do? I know we got a baptism coming up, and I know that I have gone 20 minutes over, I think, what your pastor said that we normally do, but that's okay. I'm Latin, and so you just got to deal with me in our suite. Can I tell you something, folks? It is really time for us to get our eyes off our circumstances. It's time for us to quit believing the junk that is being poured into this country and start saying, God, you're greater, you're mightier, and keep sowing that, and keep planting that, and keep planting it. Because I'm here to tell you, you plant prayers and prodigals are going to come in. You plant worship and you're going to see greater miracles than you've seen before in this. I'm prophesying tonight, and I know what I'm saying because I feel it in the Holy Ghost. There's such a river of faith flowing through this place. There really is a river of faith flowing through this place. So I'd like you to do something. If you feel like a farmer tonight, I want you to come up and do some planting around this altar. God, I've got a family that needs you. You know what? I don't even want you to kneel. Would you mind doing something? Would you stand? Kneeling sometime is a begging posture. But when you stand to your feet with your hands lifted up, I want you to start declaring some things into the Spirit. I want you to declare that prodigals are coming home. I want somebody to start declaring and praising God for the building that's going to take place. I want somebody to start declaring and praising God tonight for all that's going to be taking place. Family members are going to come in. Healings are going to take place. In your home groups, God is going to perform the Book of Acts material. Now come on, I want you to do some sowing tonight. I want you to plant some things by faith. In el nombre del Señor Jesucristo, ore, alabe. I want you to worship God right now and let the power of the Holy Ghost reach down. Let your faith explode into craziness tonight, because my God's able to do exceeding and abundantly. Abundantly above all you could ask or think. Come on. Come on. How you sow is how you reap. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. That's how it is. Come on, it'd be a good time to pray in the Holy Ghost. It'd be a real good time to be speaking in tongues right now. It's happening. It is happening. It is happening. It is happening in this place. Somebody's chains are going to be broken tonight. And your doubt about yourself is gone. I can do all things through Christ. I can. And I will. Because God's with me.